Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Ray Kugel reporting. 8 killed in Libyan hotel attack. Libyan authorities say 5 foreigners and 3 guards were killed Tuesday in an attack on a Tripoli hotel popular with politicians and international workers. Security officials at the Carinthia Hotel say assailants stormed the building after blowing up their vehicle and shooting staff members. It was not immediately clear who carried out the attack, but a group identifying itself as the Tripoli province of the Islamic State claimed responsibility in an online statement. Islamic State militants have threatened to kill 2 foreign hostages by Wednesday if demands for a prisoner exchange are not met. An online video message Tuesday repeated the request that Amanfri Sajida al-Rishawi, a woman Jordanian authorities have held since she participated in a 2005 terror attack that killed 60 people in the capital. The hostages, a Japanese journalist and a Jordanian pilot, are believed to be in Islamic State custody. Kurdish fighters widened their offensive Tuesday against Islamic State strongholds near Kobani, a day after claiming recapture of the embattled town on the Syrian border with Turkey. The Kurds say they took control of a nearby village, a claim confirmed by the British-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights. President Barack Obama traveled to Saudi Arabia on Tuesday to pay his respects following last week's death of 90-year-old Saudi King Abdullah. Mr. Obama made a brief stop in the capital, Riyadh, while leading a 30-member delegation that included officials and lawmakers. While in Riyadh, President Obama met for the first time with new Saudi King Salman bin Abdulaziz. A U.S. official says the two leaders discussed a variety of Middle East security issues. This is VOA News. The head of the Inter-Parliamentary Union says Syrian President Bashar al-Assad appears to believe a political settlement is the only solution to ending the almost 4-year-old conflict in his country. Lisa Schlein has details.
Inter-Parliamentary Union Secretary General Martin Chungong just returned from holding extensive talks with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. He is quick to say he did not go to Syria to legitimize the regime or to support any party to the conflict. Chungong says the Syrian leader is committed to dialogue and broadly agrees with new proposals made by UN envoy Staffan de Mistura for reigniting failed UN-mediated peace talks. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Ukraine's parliament approved a statement Tuesday labeling Russia as an aggressor state. Ukrainian legislators also voted to designate the Russia-backed separatist so-called People's Republics in eastern Ukraine's Donetsk and Luhansk regions as terrorist organizations and called on the international community to provide additional non-lethal military aid. About 300 survivors of the Auschwitz-Birkenau Nazi concentration camp gathered Tuesday at the site in Poland to pay their respects to victims who perished in gas chambers or from inhumane treatment and disease. When the death camp was liberated on January 27, 1945, by the Soviet Army, soldiers found 7,000 prisoners, among them 130 children. Roman Kent, an Auschwitz survivor, spoke at the ceremony.
I hope and believe that this generation will build on mankind's great traditions, tempered by understanding that these traditions must embrace pluralism and tolerance, decency and human rights for all people.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel joined survivors in a commemorative ceremony marking the 70th anniversary of the liberation of the most notorious Nazi death camps of World War II. The United Nations Children's Agency says about 3,000 child soldiers will be released from an armed group in South Sudan. The phased release will take place over the coming weeks. The children, ranging in ages from 11 to 17, were recruited by the South Sudan Democratic Army Cobra faction. A massive winter storm dropped up to 60 centimeters of snow in some parts of the northeastern U.S. Monday and Tuesday, but fell short of forecasters' worst predictions. Massachusetts and Connecticut saw some of the heaviest snow. In New York and New Jersey, it was a different story, as officials and forecasters are forced to defend their strong warnings after the storm produced less snow than anticipated. I'm Ray Kugel in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.